If you're anything like me, then the stories like that of Jacob's ladder from the Old Testament were like a foundation stone. When I first heard them as a small child, they were set like stone in me. They were ripping yarns of daring do, and like most small children, I loved them just for that. I remember very clearly going with my parents to see Jacob and his amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat at the London Palladium. And Jason Donovan was a heartthrob back then, and he was the cast, and I was completely dazzled by it. And then our church youth club performed it in the village hall. Not quite so dazzling, but I loved it just the same. But as we become adults and we read the stories again, we view them with the perspective of experience. They're still terrific stories all by themselves, but as adults, we have learned to catch nuances that make us sit up and listen to them with a different perspective. So last week, it was during Epiphany, we are now in Epiphany actually, when it started on the 6th of January, when the three wise men went on a journey of discovery to find the Christ child. And Jesus was revealed to the common man. The interval between now and Lent is sometimes described in the church calendar as ordinary time. It's a breathing space, if you like, where we can rest, absorb, and contemplate the presence of God in all the ordinary aspects of life. We get to pause a while to take it all in. We have the time and space to contemplate how the life of Jesus intersects with ours. Now, the word ordinary, I think, suggests it's a bit dull, but it's this ordinariness that I'd like to talk about with you today. It is far from dull. It is about finding Jesus within the ordinary, those everyday rhythms of life. And it is through the ordinary that he speaks to us. He shows up in the most unexpected places, among ordinary people in very ordinary lives. Think of Mary and Joseph for a moment, just a very ordinary young couple making the best of a tough situation. Think of the ordinary shepherds who were among the first to witness the greatest story ever told. Think of the wise men. They were Gentiles, and this reminds us that though Jesus was the king of the Jews, he was born as saviour to all mankind. So, a moment ago, we watched the children's video describing the tale of Jacob's ladder. And that was indeed a ripping yarn, wasn't it? Well, I'm going to give you some background because, as always, context is very important. Jacob, if you recall, was the twin brother of Esau, not Esau. I don't like Esau. They were born to Isaac and Rebekah. And of the twins, Esau was the first to be born and therefore should have received all the benefits of the firstborn son, which in those days was substantial. These twin brothers were different as night and day. Esau, the elder, was the hunter and the warrior. And he was the favorite of his father, whereas Jacob was much more content in the home environment, and he was the favourite of his mother. Now, I know we shouldn't have favourites, but bear with me. Now, Esau was very naive. However, Jacob was a liar and very sly with it. Jacob tricked his dying father into giving him that blessing that was rightly due to his older brother. Jacob may have been a cheat and a thief, But he wasn't entirely stupid. So he followed his mother's advice and legged it. He ran for his life. Esau, for goodness sake, was threatening to kill him. He was running blindly with his whole life upside down. And it was, in fact, entirely his own fault. He may have secured his father's blessing, but frankly, he had little else going for him. His future looked very dodgy indeed, and he had no idea how it was going to all work out. He ran and he ran and he ran with the sun going down, and he needed somewhere to sleep and rest for the night before running the next day. It's quite like he didn't know where he was. It could have been anywhere. It certainly wasn't described as anywhere special. It was just an ordinary place. It might sound very odd to us to use a stone for a pillow, but frankly, if there's nothing else, maybe it just helped to keep his head supported, and a sore head was better than a stiff neck. And he dreams. He dreams he sees a stairway to heaven with angels going up and down. And he hears the voice of God promising him that his descendants would form a great nation whose people would number more than the dust of the earth. And from these descendants, the whole world would multiply. How completely extraordinary. As he wakes, he realizes that something very special has happened to him. He, an ordinary man in an ordinary place, using an ordinary stone as a pillow. He had just had the most extraordinary encounter with God. And he says this, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it." Yet he was afraid, and then said, "What an awesome place this is. It is none other than the house of God, the very gateway to heaven." I think there's a really powerful message for us here today. We're being challenged to look very carefully into the ordinary things of life. Jacob was an ordinary man, albeit a liar and a cheat, but God chose to work through him. Many times, we know this, many times we see in the Bible people who may not have been the smartest or the best behaved, the most righteous or the most faithful, being used to carry a message from God or to be God's hands and feet. People just like us, like you, like me. The point of this story that I want to emphasize today is that God revealed himself to Jacob through the ordinary things of life. God used an ordinary person. I'm laboring the point of the ordinary, but I'm sure you get my drift. It's an ordinary man in an ordinary place to reveal the future for him of hope and blessing. And the truly amazing thing, I think, about this story is that Jacob does recognize the experience for what it is, the extraordinary epiphany of God. And that's so important. We say that God is omnipresent, meaning that God is everywhere, all the time, like right here, right now. But how often do we run the risk of missing God because we're looking in the wrong place? We're looking for the wrong thing. The truth is, we know what this is like. You go looking for something and you can't see it because it's right in front of you. And how frustrating is that? We all know that. And in fact, it's so common that there is a word for it in psychology called, it's a scotoma. Scotoma. And that is the inability to see something that's right in front of your eyes because your mind is looking somewhere else. We call it a blind spot, don't we? Well, we can all have a scotoma or a blind spot when it comes to seeing God in the ordinary events of life. Sometimes it is because we're looking for God in the wrong places. We know that God works through miraculous interventions, through miracles, through extraordinary events. So someone gets healed of a terminal disease who was not expected to survive. And we see God in that miracle. You're short of money this week, and one of your children comes home and is distraught because they've lost their PE kit. You're a bit strapped for money at the moment, but you're opening your post and it's from the HMRC giving you a refund. I know that's rare, so that is definitely a miracle. You're on your way to work and you get stuck behind a slow-moving tractor, which we all know is quite common here. You're delayed for 5 minutes, you're going to be late for your appointment, and it's just incredibly frustrating. But as you manage to pass, you stumble across someone's had an accident, and you realise that could have been you. And so you thank God for his miraculous protection over you. Yeah, God is definitely at work in these situations, and that's for sure. It's very much easier, isn't it, to see God in situations which are truly miraculous. But what about the ordinary? And it's in the ordinary that we tend to miss God, because we've got a blind spot in that part of our spiritual life. Well, Jacob, before all his faults, did not have a blind spot. This ordinary man who had a dream woke and said, this is in my words, not biblical words, well, that was weird. What he didn't say was, I must have overdone the cheese before I went to bed last night. He could also have blamed his anxiety, natural anxiety, about the situation that he was in for the dream and just dismissed it. But he didn't. He didn't do that. He remembered the dream as a message from God, a promise from God, and realized that the ordinary place where he had spent the night was holy ground. Everywhere is holy ground. You know that saying, seeing is believing? I'm sure it's true. It's also true that if you don't believe in something, then you're not going to see that either. If we don't look for the hand of God at work in the ordinary, possibly mundane and routine parts of our lives, chances are you're going to miss it. You're going to miss those daily examples that are constantly going on around us. I wonder why Jacob was able to determine that God was present with him in the ordinary when so many of us will miss him. I think, this is just my opinion, the reason for it was that Jacob was so messed up that he was searching for and alert to anything or anyone who could help him sort out his catastrophically messed up life. And how amazing is that? It is true that people whose lives are screwed are open to see God almost anywhere, to see a solution anywhere. Desperation can do that to people. It's a much bigger challenge to look for God when life is just running humdrum. Ordinarily. But here's the thing to remember. God is omnipresent. When times are tough, God is there. When times are better, God is there. The only question then is, can we see him, or do we have that blind spot get in the way? Faced with unknowns and uncertainty, Jacob recognized the voice of God for what it was. And he had an experience of the holy through the ordinary things. Does God work through miracles? Yeah, of course he does. Does he work through the extraordinary? Yes, he does. Absolutely. But how much more would we appreciate the presence of God in the ordinary if we allow our lives, we allow our the Holy Spirit to enter our lives, to see God in the ordinary? And here's something else to think about. In reality, the things that we might think of as ordinary actually aren't all that ordinary. God's miraculous hand provides for us every morning as the sun wakes us from the east and sets in the west. Every day, God provides for us with shelter, food, in our work, in our play, in our relationships with one another. Day in, day out, night in, night out, God is present, continually providing, sustaining, and recreating. Our extraordinary God is present in the ordinary moments of our days. There are moments when all of us need to pause and realize that wherever we are standing on holy ground. The angels of God are ascending and descending all around us, even if we can't see them. God has not forgotten us, but is still at work in all the little details of our everyday lives. I'm going to close in a moment, but before I do, I'd just like to suggest to you, or recommend to you, if I may, a Christian practice that can help us to identify where God is within our ordinariness. It's really very simple. It's not, you know, it's not rocket science, but it's very good. To just spend a few minutes at the end of the day, when you might be praying before you go to sleep, and review the day's events and ask God to show you where he was in those events, where we might have missed being aware of him at the time. So consider the ordinary things like showering, dressing, moments of pleasure, consolation, desolation, the making of decisions, our interactions with the news, my goodness, aren't we? Returning home, interactions with our friends and family, working late, running late, crawling into bed. We can ask, God, show me, God, show me, where were you present? Reveal your glory to me. Amen. Now, for the next few minutes, in a time of quiet, consider the extraordinary nature of God in the ordinary. God is acting all the time, sometimes slowly, and so we miss the beauty in our hurried life. Who has time to watch a flower unfold? God made the flowers so beautiful. Why did he do that, if not for our pleasure? Now, in this time of quiet, just for you, is space to pray, to pause, to rest, and to praise.